Hallelujah. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. As we look at the Word of God this morning, I'm going to minister on the subject. I don't know of any other thing to call it other than this. It's the curse of sin consciousness. The curse of sin consciousness. We're going to look at what sin consciousness is, what we need to know about that, and what it isn't. And you're going to see what a curse it is when you can't keep from being sin conscious. First John chapter 3. Starting with verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us command. Now look what it says in verse 21. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If you listen, first of all, let me say this. Let me make a distinction here. In the Greek language, there are words that are used to express certain things. There are words that are translated into English as heart that literally or actually mean the spirit realm, the spirit part of an individual. It's translated in the English at heart, but it's equal to what we refer to as spirit. There are other words in the Greek that are translated as heart that are equal to what we would use as emotion or mental capacity. So the heart, depending on the word that's used, can mean your spirit or it can mean the seat of your emotions. Now what we're talking about here, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If your spirit does not condemn you, you have confidence toward God. But if you think of it in the area of your emotions and your will, you're going to find out that your heart will condemn you. It's always telling you what you lack. Always telling you what you haven't lived up to. Always pointing to your weakness, to your lack. Always making you insecure. When that happens, we lose our confidence in God. He said if we do not allow our heart to condemn us, then whatever we ask, we receive from Him. You can't receive the things that God's promised you if you walk in condemnation all the time. And if you try to measure your life by your performance, you will walk in condemnation all the time. If you look for sin in your life, you will find it. You will find areas that are not what they should be in your performance level. But you have to understand that in the eyes of God, your sin's been taken care of. Why do we think so much about sin? Because it's always stuck right in front of us. And if it isn't stuck right in front of us as much as it needs to be, we'll stick it in front of us. And we'll always be dealing with that sin. Now, I got two scriptures that I want to read right now. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 8. Then we're going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Now, I know that I'm jumping over a lot of things, but I'm not taking it out of context, okay? Because all that in there between is dealing with the same thing, but I just don't want to spend all that time on it. Verse 8, Romans 7. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. But sin produced in me all manner of evil desire. Now, if I'm conscious of sin all the time in my life, what is it going to produce in me? All kinds of evil desire. Now, we're not talking about ignoring sin. We're talking about living in sin consciousness. Now, keep that in mind and jump over to verse 12 in the next chapter. Therefore, as if we were going from verse 8, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Sin consciousness always appears in the flesh. Things around us. Things going on. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. You take a little fella. Wouldn't have to be, well, it might not even, wouldn't have to be a little fella, but we'll do that just to be safe. You take a little fella, a little boy or a little girl. Particularly if they were, say, 3-4 years old. Immature. Immature. You know, there are immature Christians and there are mature Christians. Christianity in people's lives is at all levels, just like physical and emotional and mental maturity in a child, in a human, in a baby. And when a baby's 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old, if you put that child in a room, and you put a cake in that room, a good kind of cake, chocolate cake or whatever they like, whatever would be good. You put that on a little table within his reach. And you put him in that room, or her, you put him in that room with that little cake. And you say, now we're going to close the door and you're going to be in this room and you're responsible for what you do. And thou shalt not bother the cake. And you shut the door. Now, do they have the law? You gave them the law. Thou shalt not bother the cake. But now, in all honesty, when you go back and check on them, what are you going to find? Are you going to find a cake with fingerprints in it at least? Because they will touch the cake. They will bother the cake. Why? Because there's nothing else for them to focus on. All you've given them was a rule that said, don't eat the cake. Don't bother the cake. Now let's move it up to adults. Let's put you in a room. Nothing in that room but you. And in the middle of the room, there is a box and it's closed. And the person that put you in the room gets ready to leave the room and they say to you, no matter what you do, don't look in that box. And they leave. Even if you don't look in that box, even if you are able to keep from looking in that box, I promise you that 90% of your thought life while you're in that room with that box will be, what's in that box? Why can't I look in it? What are they hiding from me? And you want to do that because sin produced in me all manner of evil desire. Apart from the law, sin was dead. Now the thing about it is, you never had an opportunity to do anything else. Because all you saw was the box. You know what Romans 3:23 says? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a biblical fact. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 20, reading verses 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, when you read the context of that, you find out that what Paul is saying here is that there's not anything that you have to do. There's no set of performance that you have to perform in order to be reconciled with God. All you have to do is accept the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled you. Now, then he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He's talking about Jesus Christ. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, is it true that Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Okay? That is a truth. You cannot change that truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does it not say in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The context, the implication of what he's saying, he's not saying here that Christ died for our sins, that we might become by our own works and attitude the righteousness of God in him. He's saying because Jesus Christ died for us and took our sins in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All right, we've got one verse of scripture that says we are the righteousness of God. We've got another verse of scripture that says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is any one of them equally more true than the other one? They're both true. They're both a fact. But now let me tell you this. Your life will be so much different depending on which one of those scriptures you choose to live by. Are you living by the scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Then that throws your attitude into being sin consciousness. And you're thinking all the time about all the things that you are doing and saying and the way you're acting that keeps you in the mode of sin. You're sin conscious. But now what if you dwell on 2 Corinthians 5:21? If you set that up as the standard of your life, the standard of my life is not that I have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The standard of my life is that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. That'll affect your thinking. That'll affect the way you live. That'll affect the choices that you make. Your behavior will change. It's important. It's important how we see ourselves. It's important that we understand the Word of God, that we rightfully divide the Word of truth. In that first one, in Romans 3:23, all I'm focused on is the sin in me and around me. And I'm constantly comparing myself to sin. But when I see the other, that I am through Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, then what I begin to do is compare myself and see myself through the eyes of righteousness. Does that mean that I ignore sin? No, I have to deal with sin. But I have to understand that because of being the righteousness of God in Christ, that I am no longer a slave to sin. I no longer have to allow it to influence my life. Sin consciousness. Sin consciousness sees yourself at best as an old sinner saved by grace. And if you're an old sinner saved by grace, and that's what you see yourself, then you are very capable of your old ways. Now let me ask you this. Are you saying, Brother Jerry, are you saying that in Jesus Christ we won't ever sin? It's your choice. I may commit an act that would be considered a violation of the law, but Jesus Christ died to set me free from the law. Amen. He died to give me a different view of things. He died to give me a different attitude. Not an attitude that I can go out here and do anything I want to and it doesn't matter because God's grace covers it all. If I've got that kind of an attitude, I haven't understood the grace of God. I really question somebody's relationship with God, and I know they don't have any fellowship with Him, if they think that it's all right for them to go out and do anything they want to do because God's grace will cover it. Paul made the statement, shall we sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. Heaven forbid that we do that. But the problem is that we become sin conscious because that is what solidifies our attitude about our relationship with God. We don't base our relationship with God on the blood of Jesus Christ. We base it on how well we're keeping the law. And that is a curse that Christianity cannot seem to get away from. When you recognize what God has done for you through Christ Jesus, and you allow the Spirit of God to come into your heart, that Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, your whole attitude toward life will change. But if all you're going to do is just get forgiven and then go out here and try not to do it again, I promise you, you will do it again. But when you realize that I've been set free from this, and it no longer has authority over me, and I don't have to think about it. I don't have to go around saying, am I sinning? Am I sinning? Am I sinning? We go around saying, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. And the longer we do that, and the more we understand that, and the greater concept of righteousness that we get through the blood of Jesus Christ, the less and less sin will have any place in our life or any effect upon us. But when you're constantly saying, oh, there's a sin, I can't do that sin. Don't look at that. Oh, God. I thought about looking at it. No, I'm just so wretched. Lord, you made me different. I'm not that kind of person anymore. Am I capable of perfect performance? Absolutely not. But I'm capable of a perfect God who has a perfect plan for a perfect salvation that I just choose to be part of. And I want it to be effective in my life. Now, I told you earlier that I was going to get into talking about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world. There was nothing in that world to interfere with their joy and happiness and their communion and fellowship with God. Nothing in that world. And they did wonderfully well because God only gave them one command. You can eat of everything in this garden. You can do whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like doing, whatever your heart tells you to do, because there wasn't anything wrong with their heart. You can live the way you want to live, but one thing you cannot do, you are forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One lousy order. Adam and Eve had no problem with that. You know, I don't believe God gave them that command one day and the next day they broke it. I believe they lived for years and years and years in the blessings of God. And after a long time of living in the blessings of God, one day Eve was out in the garden. And the Satan, and the serpent, sat down next to her and said, "Hello, Eve. How are you today?"
"Mm-hmm, good."
"You're looking good today."
"Well, thank you."
"Well, let me ask you a question. Did God tell you there was anything you couldn't do?"
"Just one thing."
"What was that?"
"Said I couldn't eat of that tree."
"You ever wonder why?"
"No, he just said not do it."
"Wonder what he's trying to hide from you?"
"Nothing."
"Are you sure?" "Because I got a suspicion there's something to do with that tree that God knows that if you eat that fruit, you become like him, knowing good and evil. Wouldn't you like to be like God?" And so your response should have been,
I'm already like God.
I don't need to do that to be like God. But I tell you what, hath not God said, you can't eat that. I'd think about it if I were you, Eve. And so what did Eve do? She began to think about it. Do you know what that was? Sin consciousness. All she could think about was that sin. And she thought about it and she thought about it. And the devil kept encouraging her. When you focus on sin, regardless of whatever it is in your life, if it's just something that is strictly yours, when you focus on that thing, try to deal with it in the flesh, the devil will keep talking to you about it, and eventually he will break you down. But when sin comes up in our lives, you know what repenting is? Repentance is not getting saved again. Repentance just saying, I'm going the wrong direction, I'm going to change. Did you know that saying you're sorry? Let's put it this way. I used this example the other night at Bible study. Here's a mouse trap. You stick your finger in the mouse trap to get the cheese and you get your fingers to hurt. And you say, oh, I'm sorry. I stuck my hand in that mouse trap. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not sorry. You're sorry you got hurt. Now, if you're sorry that you stuck your finger in the mouse trap, guess what? You won't stick your finger in the mousetrap again. But you get out of the mousetrap, you put the cheese back on it, you go along, you get to thinking about that cheese again in that trap, and you go out there and you stick your hand in that trap and you get caught again. Oh, I'm sorry! That's what it is. You're sorry you got caught. Sorry the trap went off. But when you repent, you'll stop sticking your hand in that trap. And that's what repenting of sin in our life is, a change of direction. And then quit thinking about it. Don't let the devil come around and say, you know, that's going to come up again, and when it does, you're not going to be able to handle it. You're going to have to face that again, and you're not strong enough to deal with it. When what you really need to be seeing is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been delivered from that. I am now the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's not easy, and I know that it's not foolproof. But I know that it'll work every time you appropriate it right. When you stop being conscious of sin in your life, you will then be able to become right, conscious of righteousness. I don't have to sin anymore because I'm righteous. I don't have to sit around and be concerned about that because I'm righteous. Now, let's go back to that box and we'll close with this. That box in that room where you are. Okay, so suppose that box is in the room. And you know that you've been told not to open the box. But you got a whole lot of other stuff to keep you busy. You can stay away from the box. But if all you've got on your mind is the box, you're going to eventually be drawn to it. That's all you're going to be thinking about. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Some things are more obvious than others. But what we need to do is to be conscious of the power of God that's available to us in His Word. And what we are, according to Scripture. Is it true that for all of sin to come short of the glory of God? Yes, it is. Do you want to live as one of those sinners that's come short of the glory of God? No, I do not. So then what do? I live by, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Does that mean that after I realize I'm righteous, I can just go out here and live anyway? No, because if I go out here and live anyway, I have not realized that I am righteous. God's grace was given to us not so that we would be able to do everything we wanted to do and it wouldn't hurt us. God's grace was given to us so we won't have to do the things that we can't do in order to be right with God. Grace gives us the right to be righteous before God, not by our efforts, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what grace gives us the right to be. Grace does not give us the right to live any way we want to live with no consequences involved. God's grace is complete. It's finished. And all we have to do is live it. Just live it. If you live in sin consciousness, I promise you your life. Now, I'm not saying the degree. Some will be really bad, some of it won't be so bad. But if you live in sin consciousness, your life will be cursed. If you live in righteousness consciousness, you'll be set free. Quit trying to do something that's already been done. Just live it the way Jesus intended for us to when He died and bought it for us. Hallelujah. And you know, we're always to stay reminded of that. We're always to stay reminded of what Jesus did. And one of the things that we do to remind us of what He did is that we have communion together. We fellowship around the Lord's Supper, which we're getting ready to do here in just a minute. I don't know if there's been anybody that's been asked to help this morning or not, has there? I mean, if you haven't, I haven't. So I'd like for these men to come and help me this morning as we do communion. Brother Danny's not here. He didn't get everything done. I'd like for Brother Bob and Brother Jimmy, Mill, Moss, and Edwin Jackson. Just go ahead and get ready for two of you on each side, one with the bread and the other with the... And you just kind of make one line in the middle, and then just when you get up here, then you can